This week we will be learning Chagiga Daf Chaf Aleph. We left off with the Mishnah on Chaf Amud Beis, the Mishnah of Chomer Bakodesh. That's the name of the parak, and the Mishnah is going to be discussing 10 or possibly 11 different cases where we have a Chomra astringency by Kodesh, by Hekdish food or items, and that astringency is not applicable when it comes to Truma. So these cases will all have astringency only by Kodesh and not by a Truma. So the Mishnah lists them. Number one, Chomer B'Kodesh mi B'Truma. One stringency is, Shemat Bilin Kelim B'Toch Kelim L'Truma, Avalol Kodesh. When it comes to Truma, if a person wants to be Tovel, a vessel, one inside the other, essentially Toveling two Kelim at the same time, imagine you have two pots, a bigger pot and a smaller pot. You put the smaller pot inside the bigger pot and then put them into the mikvah at the same time. So apparently one can do that if those pots are going to be used for Truma, but cannot do it if those pots are going to be used for Kodesh, and the Gemara will explain why. Number two, Achorayim v'toch u'beis ha-tzvita v'truma avaloba Kodesh. So Rashi explains that you have certain kelim, certain utensils, that different parts of the kli each have an independent function. For example, you have the inside of the kli can be used for one thing, you have the handle that can be used for something else, the outside can be used for something else. So we have a leniency when it comes to truma, that if tuma touches one part of the kli, the other parts of the kli that have independent uses are unaffected by that tuma. Whereas when it comes to kodesh, the stringency is if something touches one part of the kli, even if the other parts of the kli do have separate usages, we say that the entire kli becomes tameh. Another chumra, hanosei es hamidrash, nosei es hatruma, avalo es hakodesh. So if someone is carrying, as Rashi says, a shoe of a zav, the shoe of someone who has a certain level of tuma, as we'll see in the Gemara, so that person who's carrying this shoe can also carry truma at the same time, but he cannot carry Kodesh at the same time. And the Gemara will explain that it's based on a certain incident, which we'll see later on. Another Chumra. Bigdei Ochlei Truma Midras L'Kodesh. The clothing of those who eat Truma are considered Tamei or Mitamei those who eat Kodesh. So you see that Kodesh is certainly more stringent than Truma. Another Chumra. Lo K'midas HaKodesh Midas HaTruma. Kodesh has more of a stringency than Truma. In what sense? Shabbat Kodesh, Matir, Uminagev, Umatbil, V'acharkach, Kosher. If a person is trying to be Tovel an item, and let's say that item has a knot in it, so we're in the world of Chatzitza, it seems like. So when it comes to Kodesh, if a person wants to Tovel an item that has a knot in it, first he should untie it. Let's say the item is wet. First he should dry it. Then be tovel the object, and then redo the knot, retie the knot after he takes it out. However, ubetruma kosher biachkach matpil. When it comes to truma, he doesn't have to be worried about knots. He can tovel an item, even if that item has knots. Another chumra, kelim hanigmarim b'tahara, tzrichim tefila kodesh, avalo letruma. So we know a basic rule of tuma is that tuma only applies to a kli. If something is not usable in any way, shape, or form, it's not makabel tuma. So what the Mishnah over here is saying is that sometimes you have an assembly line, you have a production where you make a kli, so it starts out as nothing and it becomes something. So the Mishnah is saying that from the moment that this kli became a functional, usable kli, it's been guarded to make sure that it is not coming in contact with tuma. Nevertheless, if one wants to use that kli for Kodesh, one would need to be tovel that kli in a mikvah. Whereas when it comes to Truma, that would not be necessary, as the kli was guarded from the moment it became royal kabel Tuma to not come in contact with Tuma. That's another Chumra of Kodesh. Another Chumra, HaKli Mitzaref Masha V'Tocho L'Kodesh Avalo L'Truma. So let's say you have, let's say, a basket or a pot, and you have certain items, three or four items in the basket. So let's say Tuma touches one of those items, and all of the items are not necessarily touching each other. So what the Mishnah is saying is that when it comes to Kodesh, we view all the items that are in one basket or one pot as being one item. And therefore, if Tumah touches one of the items, we view all the items in that basket or that pot as being Tameh. Whereas, if when it comes to Truma, we say whatever the Tumah touched, that's Tameh. Now, if that item is touching something else, it could transmit Tumah. But if that item is not touching the other items in the basket, then it does not transmit Tumah just by the fact that it's in the same pot or in the same basket as the Tameh item. Another Chumrah. Harvi'i bakodesh posel, v'yashlishi bitruma. We've said this in the past. We know there is avatoma, rishon otoma, sheni otoma. So sheni otoma is the farthest that tuma goes when it comes to regular chulin, regular non-holy food or products. We know there's an additional level of tuma called the shlishi otoma that's specifically geared towards truma. But that's as far as truma goes. So truma can only have at its highest level tuma, a shlishi l'tuma, but the chiddush, the chumrah of hekdesh, of kodesh, is that you could even go one level higher. You could even have something called the revi'i l'tuma, meaning if a shlishi l'tuma comes into contact with, and then it's tameh, comes into contact with kodesh, it can make it a revi'i l'tuma, and that's obviously a stringency that's specifically unique to kodesh. Another chumrah, ubetruma, im nitmeis achas miyadav, chaverta, Tahora ubekodesh makbil shtehen shayad metame es chaverta bakodesh avolo betruma. So Rashi points out, we're obviously talking about tuma derabanan, because if one is metame, let's say to a mace, which is tuma d'oraisa, we don't say only the body part that touched the mace is tame; the whole body is tame. There's a specific rule by tuma derabanan that only the body part that touches that tuma becomes tame. So we're discussing a case. Now let's say one hand, only the right hand of a person touches Tumah Derabanan. So what we say is, when it comes to Truma, just because the right hand touches the Tumah Derabanan, when it comes to Truma, we say that the left hand is still Tahor. However, when it comes to Kodesh, if the right hand becomes Tameh, we view the left hand as being Tameh as well, and therefore he would have to stick both of his hands in a mikvah, as we saw in the previous Mishnah, in the previous Perek, that even though when it comes to chulin, one can simply wash his hands like we do nowadays with a kli, when it comes to kodesh, one has to actually dip his hands in a mikvah of 40 saw of water. That's another chumrah when it comes to kodesh. Another chumrah, ochlin, ochlim, neguvim, biadayim misuavos, bitruma, avalo bakodesh. So simply put, this means that our hands, the Rabbanan where goes there, are considered a sheni l'tuma. We don't know where they've been. So if a person is going to be eating food that's dry, with hands that have not been washed, so essentially your hands will be a sheni l'tuma, but the food's dry, which means that it's not been machshir l'kabal tuma. In order to transmit tuma, transfer tuma, there has to be moisture. And therefore, we're saying that you could actually, when it comes to truma, eat dry truma with unclean hands, hands that have not been washed for the sake of purity. And Rashi explains, the kiva de lo hukshra lo mifsala. Because the dry food has not been wet, and therefore it's not machshir l'kabal tuma, even though your hands are a sheni l'tuma, there's nothing to transfer, there's no moisture. However, by kodesh, avalo b'kodesh, when it comes to kodesh, even that is prohibited, and the Gemara will explain exactly what the circumstances are. And finally, the last case, ha'onin u'mechusik yipurim, someone who had just lost a parent, let's say, but has not had the burial yet, so he's considered an onin. And u'mechusik yipurim, someone, for example, Rashi says, you have a zav, who has to go through a 7-day purification process, then he has to go to the mikvah, then he has to wait until nightfall, and then the next day, he brings a karban. So let's say you're after the mikvah, and you've passed the next day, you're on the 8th day, you're just waiting to bring the karban. That's considered a mechusik yipurim. So both the onin and mechusik yipurim, srichin tfila lakodesh avolo truma. If such a person, after he brought his karban, if he wants to eat kodesh, he has to go to the mikvah again, even though he just went to the mikvah by a mechusik yipurim. And the Gemara will explain why that is, but by truma, v'alo b'truma, he does not have to go to the mikvah again. Okay, so the Gemara now wants to analyze Case number one. Case number one is the concept of kli betoch kli. That when it comes to kodesh, one cannot be tovel, a small pot inside a big pot, and put them in the mikvah together, whereas by truma, it's permissible. So bekodesh maitai malo, says the Gemara. What's the problem with doing this when it comes to hektish? So Rabbi Ila says, mibnei shekvedo shel kli chotzeitz. Because the weight of the inner kli will act as a chatzitza. Now the fact that the Mishnah lists this as a stringency, it sounds like we don't actually believe this is a chatzitza, this is a separation on a doraisa level. This is a concern for a chatzitza, something that's similar to a chatzitza. So Rav Ila is saying, think about it. If you have an outer kli, a bigger kli, and then a smaller kli inside of it, and they're together, so the inside kli will be putting its weight down on the rim of the outer kli, which will then not allow the water to reach both the bottom of the inside of the bottom kli or the bottom of the inside kli. And therefore, it will be a chatzitza both for the inner kli and for the outer kli. Now, Rashi does foreshadow. The Gemara is going to ask, well, if we really are somewhat concerned here for chatzitza, then why would we permit it by truma? But at this point, we'll leave it as is, that according to Rav Ila, this is a complete chatzitza issue. We know when a person is tovel kli in the mikveh, he's got to peel off the stickers, he's got to make sure there's no other objects on it, he has to make sure it's dry. So obviously we're concerned for chatzitzos, for separations, when it comes to dipping kelim in a mikveh. So to here, if one dips a kli inside another kli, when it comes to kodesh, we're concerned that the weight will cause a chatzitza. So the Gemara asks, is case number one in the Mishnah really a chatzitza case? V'hamid seifa mishum chatzitza. We have another case, somewhat later in the Mishnah, that's very clearly with respect to chatzitza, which would imply reisha la mishum chatzitza, which would imply that case number one is not about chatzitza. Because if there were two cases in the Mishnah that both taught us a stringency, that by kodesh were machmir for somewhat questionable chatzitza situations, it could have just grouped it into one case and said, when it comes to kodesh, we are extra machmir for things that are similar to chatzitzas. Where else in the Mishnah do we have a case that was clearly about chatzitza? Diktani Seifa. We had a case later on which says, V'lo k'midas ha-kodesh, midas ha-truma. Kodesh is more chumra than truma in the following way. Sheba kodesh, when it comes to kodesh, matir, if you have a knot in the kli, you have to untie it. Umangiv, if the kli is wet, you have to dry it. Umatvil, and then put it in the mikvah. V'yakach kosher, and then you'll tie it again. Ubetruma, kosher, v'yakach matvil. When it comes to truma, leave the knot in, you could be tovel it with the knot. Clearly over there, the reason why I would or would not be untying a knot before dipping something in the mikvah, the only possible explanation for that is chatzitza. As we know, if a person has a knot, it doesn't really allow water to pass in through that knot. And therefore, we have another case in the Mishnah later on, which is about chatzitza. So, the question is, how could it be that case number one, according to Rav Ila, is about chatzitza, if we have a case later on, which is also about chatzitza? So Rav Ila, or the Gemara answers on behalf of Rav Ila, Reisha v'seifa mishum chatzitza. No, Rav Ila's position stands. Case number one is about chatzitza, and the case later on about the knot is about chatzitza. Utzricha. But Rav Ila feels that both these cases are necessary. Meaning I couldn't have just grouped them into one category. Why? Di'i ashminon reisha. If I would have only had case number one about the kli betoch kli, havamina, hainu taima til kodesh lo. I would have thought the reason why we're extra machmir in the case of kli betoch kli is b'shem kvedo shel kli de'ika. Because there, what's causing the chatzitza? The weight of a kli. A kli weighs a lot. You're dealing with a big pot, a big bowl. And therefore, that's a real concern of a chatzitza. Aval seifa. What's the seifa? You have some strings, you have some knots. Deleika kvedo shel kli, you're not dealing with weight and heavy objects. We would have thought that maybe in that case, since we're already dealing in the world of only questionable chatzitzas, perhaps we wouldn't have viewed that as a chatzitza when it came to Kodesh. And therefore I needed to tell me the case of number one and number whatever it was in the Mishnah. V'yashminan seifa. But if I would have only had the case in the Mishnah about the knot and untying it, havamin, I would have thought, hainu taimadul kodesh lo. You know why the case of the knot, and I have to untie it. You know why that's a chatitza? Mishum de kitra ahaduki mehadik. Because knots are very tight. And they're tied very tightly. And Rashi says, on the top of Chaval Vomaviz, the karav hulios chotzeitz. That's very close, very similar to chatitza. You have a very tight knot that water cannot penetrate. So that's where perhaps we would think that of course they made a chumrah when it came to a knot, because that's very similar to a real chatitza. Aval Resha, in the case of Kli B'tol Kli, demaya akfuye makfile lemana, when you put two kelim in a mikvah, there's something called buoyancy. The kelim naturally are going to want to float up to the top. So the water itself lifts the inner kli and separates it from the outer kli. And therefore, I would have thought, lo avichatitza. So because I have this water putting pressure that this inside kli should rise to the surface to allow space, water space, between the inner and outer kli, I would have thought that that's not a real chatitza we would be stringent about. And therefore, tzricha, I need to state both cases of chatitza in the Mishnah, according to Rav Ila. So many of the Farshim ask over here, according to Rav Ila, if kli b'tol kli is a chatitza case, and the case of the knot is a chatitza case, so why did the Mishnah split them up? Wouldn't it have made more sense to just teach them case number one, case number two? Those are like kinds, rather than splitting them up into a resha and a seifa. So many of the Farshim ask this. The most simple answer is given by the Netziv in the Merome Sadeh, who says that the Mishnah was listing the gzeros in the order in which they were made. You have to remember, these are historical events that actually took place. The Rabbanan actually made a gzera of an Isser by Kodesh for each of these things, but they were not all done on one day in the same room. They were done over the course of time. And so it's true, it would have been easier for us to read, to understand, if the two chatitza cases were grouped together, but this is the order of how they were given. The Sfas also interestingly points out that this whole chatitza of kli b'tol kli, if you could imagine the scenario, this is only if one puts it into the mikveh like that. But let's say one puts one kli in the mikveh, it's already under the water, and now you put another kli, dip it in the water, and stick it with your hand to the other kli. You push it down as hard as you can. So there, it's not a chatitza. Because since the water is there first, so the water is not going to allow this kli you're pushing down onto the kli that's already there to get too close. But when you put them together outside the mikvah and then dip them at once, that's where Rav Ila says there's a real concern of chatitza. Sometimes even says, because if we were to say that you can't even put one in first and then the next, so when a person goes to the mikvah himself, so what? He puts his legs in the mikvah. Do we say that his legs are being chotis the rest of his body once his body gets in? Obviously not, since the water is there first. That's a ha'ara of the Sfas Emes. Okay, so that's the pshat of Rav Ila. Not only that, says the Gemara, Rav Ila Taimei, the fact that Rav Ila counts kli b'tol kli and the case of the knot as two separate cases in our Mishnah, that supports the following opinion, Rav Ila's opinion. D'am Rav Ila, Amro Chanina Bar Papa, Eser Milos Shanukan. There are 10 stringencies in the Mishnah. Now, if when I read the Mishnah, you were to have counted each of the cases, you would have got 11. So it's a question, how could Rav Ila say there are 10? But now we understand. Because we're not saying there are 10 cases, we're saying there are 10 stringencies by Kodesh. According to Rav Ila, the case of Kli B'tol Kli and the case of the knot both stem from the same exact stringency, which is a stringency by Chatzitzos when it comes to Kodesh. And therefore, even though they are technically, physically separated in terms of how they're listed in the Mishnah, Rav Ila groups them together in terms of their reason, and therefore only really counts 10 stringencies in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Chamesh Rishonos, the first 5, apply Bein LeKodesh, Bein LeChulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, apply whether you're dealing with actual Hekdesh, or whether you're dealing with food that's not holy at all, but you have simply decided to treat it with the same restrictions as Kodesh. As we mentioned in the previous daf as well, there's such a concept, a person wants to treat Chulin with extra levels of Tahara, he can behave as if the Chulin was Kodesh. So the first five Chumras that apply to Kodesh also apply to Chulin Shenasu al Taharas HaKodesh. However, Achronos, the last five, according to Rav Ila, the Kodesh only apply to Kodesh, Avalo, the Chulin Shenasu al Taharas HaKodesh. But they don't apply to Chulin that's simply being treated as Kodesh. My Taima, why would Rav Ila distinguish between the first five and the second five? So says the Gemara, Chamish Kamaisa, the first five, De Islahu, Drara De Tumadoraisa. There's a trace of Tumadoraisa, therefore, Gazru Bahu Rabbanon, Bein LaKodesh, Bein LaChulin Shenasu Al Taharas HaKodesh. The Rabbanon had to up their Gzeira, because since we're dealing with at least a basis of Tumadoraisa, so they increased their stringency to apply not only to actual Hekdesh, but also Chulin that's being treated as Hekdesh. However, Basraisa, the last five cases in the Mishnah, Delais Budrara Tumadoraisa, that don't have a basis of Tumadoraisa, Gazbu Rabbanu LaKodesh, they were only Gozer for actual Hekdesh, but Chulin Shenasu Al Taharas HaKodesh, LaGazbu Rabbanu, they were not Gozer on Chulin that is only treated as Kodesh. Now Rashi actually explains how the first five cases in the Mishnah actually have a basis of Tumadoraisa. So let's go one by one. The case of Kli B'Toch Kli, well, we know that there's a concept of Chatzitza Midoraisa. We're clearly concerned for that, and therefore, even though this is only a gzera of possible chatzitzas, but the basis, the actual concern, is a possible chatzitza d'oraisa. That's how you get the oraisa in the case number one of Kli B'Toch Kli. Case number two was where you have different parts of a kli, three parts. You have the outside, inside, the handle. So, where's the chashash d'oraisa there? So Rashi says, well, the whole issue here is becoming tamei with liquid, which is only a tumah d'rabbanan, but the fact that the rabbanan made a gzeira on tumah of liquid is because there is a concept of tumah of liquid on the rice level. What liquids are tamei midoraisa? The spit or the urine of a zav or a zava, possibly a nida, and therefore there is a basis of tumah d'rabbanan, even though we're dealing with tumah d'rabbanan of a liquid, but there are liquids that are tumah d'oraisa, that the Rabbanan chose to make their gzera based on, and that's how you have a basis of tumah d'oraisa. What about when it comes to nosei es hamidros? So we said, when it comes to carrying something, so we know there's a concept of carrying something that's on a d'oraisa level, you could have tumah d'oraisa through carrying. So that's the basis for this tumah d'rabbanan of carrying. Then you also had a case of the begadim of those who eat truma are considered tameh for kodesh. Again, the issue there is we have to be concerned that maybe someone's wife who's a nida sat on it, and if that were the case, that would be actual tumah d'oraisa. And finally, we had the fifth case in the Mishnah, was a case where once a kli is finalized to be a usable kli, even though it was guarded b'tahara, but when it comes to Kodesh, we say you need to dip the kli in the mikvah. Why? So Rashi explains, we're concerned that maybe without anyone knowing, an Am HaAretz spit, or his spit somehow landed on this kli after it was formed. Perhaps the Am HaAretz is a zav, and the spit of a zav is Tumah d'oraisa. So Rashi explains how all five of those cases have a foundation, have a basis in Tumah d'oraisa, and that's why the Rabbanan were extra strict in their gzera. Rabbi Chananel has a little bit of a different explanation here, and it seems like it's based on the fact that he had a little bit of a different girsa in the Gemara. Our girsa is drara de tumah midoraisa. Rabbi Chananel's girsa is simply drara de tumah, without the word d'oraisa. So Rabbi Chananel explains that these first five cases, there apparently already exists tumah, and the Rabbanan simply added to or extended the Tumah. Whereas in the later five cases in the Mishnah, the Rabbanan actually introduced new Tumah. Okay, so this was all, essentially the entire daf up until now, was just to explain Rav Ila's opinion as to what's the issue with kli b'tol kli, and according to Rav Ila, the issue is chatzitza. However, we quote a second opinion now, who argues on Rav Ila, and that's Rava. Rava Amar, Rava cannot get past the fact that we quoted a case later in the Mishnah that also has to do with chatzitza. So says Rava, Rava Amar, midaseifa hav mishum chatzitza, reisha la mishum chatzitza. You can't have two chatzitza cases in the Mishnah. From the fact that it's very obvious that the case of the knot has to do with chatzitza, it must be that the case of kli b'tol kli, the issue is not a chatzitza issue. Well, if it's not a chatzitza issue, what is the issue of kli b'tol kli? So as the Gemara, the reisha haynu taima, why can one not be tovel kli b'tol kli? Gzira shol yatvil michitim v'tzinoros b'kli she'im b'piv kishofares hanod. So a chitin and tzinoros are very small types of kli. And we have to understand a rule. There's a rule in Hilchos Mikvaos. As the Gemara says, Vitnan, we have a Mishnah in Mikvaos, in Mishnayos Mikvaos, which says, Iruv Mikvaos, Kishoferes Hanod, Keovye Uchichola, Bishteot Zbaos, Choseres Limkoman. So let's give an example here. We know a mikvah has to be 40 saw. Let's say you have two pools of water that each have 20 saw, and there's almost a wall in between them, but there's a little bit of a hole that connects these two pools. When do we know if the two pools are considered connected? So essentially, if one would go into the mikvah, he's going in a pool of 40 saw. Now, that example is not a great example, because we spoke about in the past that the reason why the Rabbanan actually gave the shear of 40 saw is because that's what fits a person's body. So technically, a person can't really go into a mikvah of 20 saw because his whole body won't be submerged under the mikvah, but just for the hypothetical. So what the Mishnah Mikvaos says is that if the opening of this hole that connects the two pools is at minimum the size of the diameter of a hollow reed, which we say is two etzbos, finger breaths, that is placed in the opening of a leather bottle, and we are measuring it ki'ovia v'chalala, like the diameter of the reed, which is measuring from one surface to the opposite surface, which is equal to the sum of two times the thickness of the wall of the reed plus the diameter of the hollow space within the reed. Okay, long story short, and your finger has to be able to circle it. So if the hole is that large at a minimum, then the mikvahs connect. So what's the issue here? So what we're saying is that let's say a person goes to a mikvah and he's tovel kli in one of the pools of the 20 saw. So he's taught that the hole has to be a certain size. But what's going to happen if we allow a person to tovel kli b'tol kli? So he's going to be toveling, let's say, large kalim. He's going to be toveling large kalim in the mikvah that has very wide openings. Certainly at least two etzbaos that are wide. But a person's going to say, well, that was because it was big kalim. When it comes to small kalim, maybe they don't actually need such a wide opening. And what will he do? He'll come to be tovel kalim in a mikvah without such a wide opening. And therefore, they made a gzera. They said, you know what? Don't tovel any kalim inside other kalim when it comes to kodesh, because we have to be concerned that a person is going to be tovel in a situation where there's not this, at least this size opening. And Rashi even says, "Vahi lav tfilahi." If a person were to be tovel in a kli that did not have such a wide opening, that wouldn't be a valid tfila. Shein ha'mayim hanichnasim l'socho chibor l'me'a mikvah. Because if a person were toveling a kli, the kli itself, one kli, it had such a little opening, even if some water, when he puts it in the mikvah, will trickle into the kli, but because the opening is not at least the size of the shofar hanod, we won't view the water that's inside the kli as being connected to the mikvah itself. And therefore, it won't be a valid tefillah on the inside of the kli, because we don't view the water that's getting inside the kli as being connected to the mikvah itself. So they said by Kodesh, you know what? No tefillahs in kli b'tol kli, lest one come to be tovel a kli that has an opening of less than shofar hanod, which won't be a valid tefillah. And says the Gemara, Tapcha Bezon Med Aleph, Savrla Kadam Rav Nachman Amar Rav Arvua. And Rava, as opposed to Rav Ila, clearly holds that Yud Aleph Mailushanu Kan. That not that there are 10 cases listed in the Mishnah, rather there are 11. Because remember, the only reason Rav Ila said there are 10 is because he counted two cases of Chatitza that he joined together. But according to Rava, that there's only one case of Chatitza in the Mishnah, the case of the Knot. The case of Kli B'Tol Kli is a separate Gzeira, so there are 11 different stringencies recorded in the Mishnah that have to do with Kodesh. Shesh Rishonos, Ben the Kodesh, Ben the Chulun, Shas, Ratar, Kodesh. The first six apply both to Kodesh itself and to Chulun that's treated as Kodesh. And Achronos, the last five, the Kodesh, are only Gzeira by Hekdesh itself, Avalol Chulun, Shnas, Ratar, Kodesh, but does not apply to Chulun that's treated as Kodesh. And in the next daf, we're going to continue to elaborate on the opinions of Rav Ila and Rava. We'll stop here.